Let's go behind door number three, and I'll start guessing here. All right. Hello.
Hello, George. When they come back, I help them out.
Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. So this is Marianne Winkowski.
No, George.
Would you talk a little bit more?
Yes, again, George.
I've been set up on this. Do you come on Coast to Coast regularly?
Yes, George. I wish it was more regular, but yes, George.
You wish it were more. You're female.
Yes, George. Thank you. George, I hope I'm one of your favorite nurses.
Nurse Joyce Riley.
Hey, how you doing, George?
I'm doing well. How are you? He set me up.
They told me
I took
there were
the
no
bait.
Rules.
There are no rules. He got me. He got me. Darn. Well, but I did finally get your name.
You got it.
How are you, Nurse Joyce Riley?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much, George, and I appreciate it, and I'm honored to be on tonight. Thank you very much.
Me too. Joyce Riley heading up the Gulf War Vets Association, and she has her own radio show called The Power Hour, and we'll tell you about that in a second, how you can listen to her. And, boy, we're going through some tense times these days, Joyce, aren't we?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I've been thinking a lot about the last 14 years of appearing on Coast to Coast, and of the things that have been said, the things that I wish that could have made a difference in people's lives, where we are today. And I have to say that probably now, in this day and age of 2010, we are seeing more sick and dying military people returning from Iraq and Afghanistan than we've ever seen before. In fact, some recently documented statistics show that about 80% of those that are returning are now being labeled with some kind of mental disorder. 80%, according to the VA.
Huge, frightening, and scary, isn't it?
It's unbelievable, given the fact that in the first Gulf War, that's identical to what happened. 80% of the troops that came back were labeled with a mental disorder in the first Gulf War. And yet people don't realize that it's happening all over again. And now we're doing the very same thing, giving them the very same drugs, kicking them out of the military, calling it personality disorder. And if you have a personality disorder, that probably was created or you had it before you got in the military. So therefore, you're not covered by anything. And now it's being used, as it was before, as a way to escape the compensation that is owed by these troops. And so I kind of have been looking at some of the letters that I received after being on Coast to Coast and some of the people whose lives have been altered, at least by the accurate information. And I've been thinking about what does it take to help the people of this country understand how they have been used, how their sons and daughters are deceptively being manipulated, even under their death. And it has nothing to do with being for or against war or being anti-government or whatever label wants to be used. It has everything to do with the valor and the honor and the truth, all these things that the military stands for. The DOD takes the cream of the crop, you know, not those that are gang members and not those that are out running the streets doing drugs, and they take them into the military. These people want to make a statement. They want to make their families proud of them. And they don't realize they're going to be given experimental vaccines, exposed to chemicals, biologicals. They're going to be given raw radiation in the form of depleted uranium, break down their bodies, their immune systems, watch them suffer, but not before ejecting them from the military with no treatment for diagnosis. Now we're having these a major amount of diagnosis, acute myelogenous leukemia, brain tumors, deadly kidney failure at 22 years of age. And then they basically spit in their face in their graves by rejecting their medical claims. And we act as though this is not happening. We don't want to think that we have a government that could be so cruel as to do this to the military people, then cast them aside and kick them to the side of the curb and give him some embarrassing diagnosis like personality disorder. And sometimes they even kill themselves or someone else. And all the time in the name of honor. And you watch them put that wreath on the grave, on the tomb of the unknown soldier, and all the pomp and circumstance that goes into the military. And I have to say, after 14 years, either I'm lying, like I've said many times on your show, George, either I am lying or the Department of Defense is lying. And it's time that one of us be held accountable for this.
Well, and I know you're not lying, Joyce. I've known you way too long. You've got too much integrity. And so, you know, one has to think it's the other side. You know, it really
But
is.
What do we do? Where do we move? I want to read just a couple of snippets from some letters that I received.
Sure.
That are so impressive that they got the answers on Coast to Coast. Thank goodness. Dear Captain Riley, I served as an Army medic in the Gulf War. Loved what I did, but have not ever been so full of pain and hopelessness as I am now. I've miscarried several times. My joints hurt so badly I can barely get up from a chair. I have a rash so bad it bleeds. The VA says it's all in my head. They put me on Prozac. Please help me. I'm only 26 years of age. Dear Ms. Riley, I heard you on Coast to Coast and cannot tell you what it meant. I am proud to be a U.S. Marine and have always finished first in my PT class. I was so proud of this. But after the Gulf War, physical training, that is, and running and exercise, after the Gulf War, I was the last. They told me I was just a bad Marine. I've had shortness of breath and such joint pains, but I ran anyway. Tonight I heard you on Coast to Coast, and you described me as if you knew me. And now I'm in a wheelchair. He said the VA has denied my claims of disability, but thank you, Captain Riley. Tonight, because of hearing you on Coast to Coast, I know I'm not a bad Marine. A highway patrolman wrote to me and told me that he and his wife were at the point of divorce because the DOD said there's no Gulf War illness. It's all in their heads. And he said, I heard you on Coast to Coast. I called my wife up, who we were living separately, and told her to listen to the program. She took me back, and after 29 years of marriage, we're back together again.
That's fantastic.
I was stopped by a highway patrolman, believe it or not, because I was going through a town, and I had an emblem on the side of my car that said American Gulf War Veterans Association. He had heard me on Coast to Coast, and all of a sudden, I'm driving through this little town of 1,500, and behind me is a red light and siren, and I knew I hadn't done anything wrong. The highway patrolman, and I don't even want to give the location, came up to my car, and he said, ma'am, I could get fired for what I'm about to do. And I didn't know. I thought he was
You're going, oh, no. What?
I know. I thought he was going to shoot me or something and then say I'm sorry. But he said, I could get fired for what I'm about to do. And I said, well, what is that? And he said, because I'm stopping you because I have to ask you this question. My child was born deaf, and I'm a Gulf War veteran, and nobody will talk to me at the VA. And I risked my job just to stop you because I saw that you were that person that was on Coast to Coast. Jeez. Would you please talk to me about what happened to my son and why he cannot hear?